Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker Campbell, welcome in to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. We are so glad that you are with us here in hour number one. We want to connect with you. That's right. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. You can always go back and listen to all of our exclusive interviews at podcastarena.com. That is podcastarena.com. Lots of news and notes to get into with NBA Free Agency and my good friend Joe George with SB Nation Radio. He is back with us to help us kick off the program tonight. Did you have a good 4th of July?
I did. Nice and relaxing, sweet. But it was good. It was a good 4th.
Okay, so what do you think about the news? Gordon Hayward, now a Boston Celtic. Is this like the biggest splash of the summer in free agency?
You know, it's interesting. I think when you look at just straight free agents, it is. Compared to the trades, I'm not sure yet. I think I'd still probably put the Rockets move with Chris Paul as a bigger one. Just to it's such a huge story that the Rockets finally went for it, and they're going to try to team up Chris Paul and James Harden, and how that still has implications that maybe they could get Carmelo Anthony as well. At least they can hope that if the Knicks want to move on from him, that they could get him instead of Cleveland. Would be awesome. But the move for Gordon Hayward is a great move for the Celtics. I still think they would have been better off with Paul George or Jimmy Butler. But I get why this was the route they needed to go, because they didn't want to give up all those picks. Like, Danny Ainge clearly loves his draft picks, and he wants to keep them all and bring in Gordon Hayward. So it's a huge splash in what it does for the NBA, the Eastern Conference. I don't think it changes much since they were the one seed last year, but it's sure going to make the NBA a lot of fun next year, especially when the Eastern Conference is down now. At least we'll have the Celtics and the Cavs to go to war with.
Well, the Eastern Conference, the stock is on the rise. Some good players coming over to the Eastern Conference. There seemed to be some confusion, though. I thought, you know, Gordon Hayward, he was going to be with Miami. I mean, there was some vacillating, jockeying back and forth, and then he ultimately was with the Celtics. Did you believe in your heart that he was going to land there?
I actually really thought he was going to end up with the Heat. I just, like, thought no one said no to the Godfather, Pat Riley. I just thought that's what he was going to convince Gordon Hayward to come to the Heat. I was pretty surprised that he ended up in Boston, actually.
Hey, Joe George with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Great way to kick off our program. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. More NBA Free Agency 2017 after this timeout.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
NBA Free Agency 2017, covering it all right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are back, and I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. So delighted to have with us in studio, live and in studio, Joe George, our very own from SB Nation Radio. Before the commercial break, we were talking about the big crossover. That's right, Gordon Hayward going from the Jazz over to the Celtics. And, you know, there's been so much talk, Joe, about Gordon Hayward as a player, his offensive skill set, what he can do. He can score. He can do so many different things. I appreciate him as an offensive player. He's a willing player to make that extra pass. But size him up defensively. What does he bring to the Celtics?
Yeah, you know, I think he brings an interesting element to the Celtics, because the one question I do have with Gordon Hayward defensively is just when you look at the guys he's playing around and the system that he's in that Quinn Snyder has built in Utah, and you have a specific guy like Rudy Gobert, who is to me the best, probably the best center in the NBA right now defensively. It's like he can shadow and overcome Gordon Hayward's deficiencies. So what his real quality on defense is, I think, is still to be determined, because there's also, to me, such a big difference between defense in the regular season and defense in the postseason, where there's just an effort level difference. Like, not everyone is Kawhi Leonard, where it's like full defense all the time, or a guy like Patrick Beverley. So I question what kind of defensive player he really is. I think he's a good one, for sure. I mean, can anyone guard LeBron James in the NBA? No. Can he slow him down enough? I don't know. I think Jay Crowder is a better defensive player. And it's still kind of up in the air if Jay Crowder is going to have to be like that piece that goes to Utah on a signing trade. Mm-hmm. And I do think that hurts them a little bit. But to me, it's fine, even if that happens. Because Gordon Hayward, what he brings to you offensively, even if he's less of a defender than Jay Crowder, who's not even the greatest defender in the world, he's probably the best guy suited to guard LeBron. I just think he brings so much offensively that in today's NBA, where it's high scoring and you got to score in bunches, like that's the right guy for their system right now. But he might prove me wrong, that he might be a better defender than I think. To me, he's not he doesn't scream lockdown defender. He screams sound defender, like a guy that he's going to know his role, he's going to do it right.
A willing defender.
Yeah, he's not going to get a lot of backdoor, lazy backdoor cuts and things like that. It's not going to happen to Gordon Hayward. He's going to have his eye on the ball, he's going to know where his guy is, and that's going to be an important role for him when you're going against a guy like specifically like LeBron James.
You remember watching him when he was with Butler, and I want to talk to you about how much do you think he has evolved as a player throughout the years, and it's so cool that he is reunited with his former coach in Brad Stevens.
He's evolved so much. I never was really that high on Gordon Hayward, and maybe it's just the school coming out of Butler that I just didn't really believe that a great NBA player could come out of a school like that. But his offensive game has really changed so much. Now, Quinn Snyder really did build an offense around his strengths and what Gordon was good at, and he knew the spots on the court that Gordon needed to go to. Now, Brad Stevens, of course, is going to know those as well, and they've watched enough tape, so as long as Isaiah Thomas and Gordon Hayward can find that coexisting relationship that they need, I think what we've seen in this development and growth will grow even more. Because to me, like, he should have been able to get the Supermax contract, but he wasn't an all-NBA team guy. If I had a vote, I would have put him on there. Honestly, probably instead of Jimmy Butler. I think Gordon Hayward's more deserving this last season. So I think he's developed so much, he's developed so well and quickly, and he only continues to evolve. Like, I don't think we've seen the end of his ceiling. Like, we're not at the ceiling yet. I think we're close, but I don't think we're there yet. And I think Boston and being back with Brad Stevens, he's going to get like right where he needs to be.
Is this move enough with the addition of Gordon Hayward for the Celtics enough to beat the Cavs?
I don't think so.
Okay, what are they going to be missing? What do they still need?
They don't have LeBron. To me, it's like it's almost just not fair right now to anyone in the NBA when you look at what's going on. Like, I don't think the Rockets have done enough. I don't think the anyone has done enough to build. I don't think that OKC has done enough with Paul George. Like, when you're going against the Warriors and LeBron, there's these special talents on both those teams. Like, LeBron James, to me, is the second greatest player of all time. There's a reason why he's been to, what, 7 straight NBA finals, an incredible accomplishment. So I don't think they have enough right now. Now, the speculation and rumors that they could potentially land a guy like Marc Gasol, that changes my tone a little bit. If they were to get a guy like Marc Gasol and find a way to make that trade work, I don't think it's logistically possible without literally just blowing up the entire team. But I think if they were to find a way to get Gasol on the roster, even if it means losing a guy like Avery Bradley, I think then it's a different conversation. But what Gordon Hayward does do is that as we see the fact that Chauncey Billups will not be in Cleveland, as we hear the rumors that LeBron James will not recruit to Cleveland right now and that his wife wants to go to L.A., if LeBron's leaving Cleveland, what Gordon Hayward does do for the Boston Celtics, it makes them the clear favorites to me when LeBron leaves. And it also means that if there is an injury, whether it's Kyrie Irving or Kevin Love or LeBron, which we haven't seen him get injured yet severely, it means Boston's the favorite. So right now, to me, they're an injury away or LeBron leaving away to be the best team in the East.
Okay, so you're saying LeBron is going to opt out in 2018.
Yeah, I think so, for sure. To me, he seems unhappy, and he knows he can't win in Cleveland. Like, the way they're constructed, and even though some of it to me is his fault with, like, bringing in Tristan Thompson and getting him that max contract that he didn't deserve, but LeBron's agent is the same agent as Tristan Thompson's, like, they made it work, and for whatever reason, like, that's the route they decided to go. So, no, I don't think LeBron will stay in Cleveland. I actually really thought maybe he would return to Miami if Gordon Hayward would have gone to Miami. But to me, if I'm LeBron, and I look at the fact that in 2018 I'm going to be a free agent, and Chris Paul is going to be a free agent, even though I think he'll stay in Houston. And then you'll have Paul George and Russell Westbrook, two LA natives, are both going to be free agents all in one class next year. LeBron can say, okay, we're coming to you, Luke Walton. We're going to team up with Lonzo Ball, and I'm bringing with Paul George, or I'm bringing with Russell Westbrook. I don't know if him and Lonzo can play together after what LeVar Ball has said about LeBron in the past, but I do think LeBron's going to leave. I really do. I just don't see him winning again in Cleveland, and I think there are better options and better teams for him to play on, whether it's Washington. Honestly, if they made the right moves, I think LeBron and Melo and Kristaps Porzingis would be a special team. So I think he is going to leave for sure.
Is there anything that the Cavs could do to keep their guy?
You know, I think if they do start going the route of trying to really make him happy by trading Kevin Love for Carmelo Anthony, if that's what LeBron really wants, even though I think LeBron does know, even though there's a special friendship there, he knows that Melo is not as good as Kevin Love anymore. So I don't even know if that works.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they can do. I think maybe if they can find a way to add Dwayne Wade this year, if the Bulls are and Dwayne Wade can come to a buyout, maybe Dwayne Wade goes to Cleveland. But besides something like that, Carmelo Anthony or Dwayne Wade ending up in Cleveland, I don't see a move right now that really makes sense to me to keep LeBron there. I think it would have taken Paul George going to Cleveland to make that work.
He is back with us. Joe George, our very own from SB Nation Radio. That's right, we're talking NBA free agency. We got to talk about your Bulls. What kind of moves have been taking place? And could you have ever foreseen that bye-bye Jimmy Butler?
You know, I mean, I've been hoping almost for like 2 years because the Bulls are just in that awkward place that
that's when your heart's desire?
Yeah, because they're never going to be good enough to win a championship. Like, they're just not. Like, you can't. Jimmy Butler, to me, he's not a good leader. There's been reports that he had issues with Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah. He had issues with Fred Hoiberg. He called Fred Hoiberg out after, like, the first week of his coaching career, like, saying he doesn't coach them hard enough. And so I don't know. I don't know if I buy into Jimmy Butler as this superstar guy that's going to change the world. Like, to me, he's not a top 15 player in the NBA. I've got him in the mid-20s. Like, when I look at all the NBA rosters, that's where I got Jimmy as, like, 25, 26. So I think the Bulls were in this awkward, mediocre place where they were always going to be either the 10 seed and just missed the playoffs or as high as the 7 seed with Jimmy Butler. I don't think he'd ever take them to the promised land. So I would rather this team do what they did and tear down and rebuild and just tank. I'd rather them tank and be like the 76ers than be this awkward team that gets knocked out in the first round every year.
Okay, great way to kick off hour number one with our very own Joe George from SB Nation Radio. You stay close because coming up, Basketball Hall of Famer and the assistant coach of the Sacramento Kings, that's right, Nancy Lieberman, will be joining us here in a moment at the Next Generation of Sports Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. As promised, in our next segment, it is time to talk some NBA and free agency. We actually have several discussion points that we get into, but we are so thrilled to have back with us Basketball Hall of Famer and the assistant coach with the Sacramento Kings, always one of our favorites, the great Nancy Lieberman, who I want to wish a very happy belated birthday. July 1st was your birthday, right?
It was. Thank you so much for always remembering.
Well, it's good to have you back, and it really has been a very busy week in the NBA. We're going to talk some free agency and summer league here in just a moment. But today is 7-7 of 2017, a day of remembrance. As earlier this morning, Nancy, you were at the opening of the Dallas Dream Court to mark the one-year anniversary of the tragic Dallas shooting. So today you gifted, what, two dream courts to the city of Dallas to help the communities, police, families on this day. Tell us about it and just how important it is to honor our responders for what they do for us each and every day.
Well, it's been an amazing day, a blessed day for all of us, and a very humbling and sober day to realize that, you know, we're all here to remember the first responders, you know, police officers, who were killed a year ago. So we're just continuing our path of trying to utilize our dream courts, which is outdoor parks, basketball courts, and we're gifting them to the Dallas Police Department So then they can give them to the neighborhoods, communities that they serve. You know, we want them to continue to build the relationships between kids in the community, and we just want to be a conduit, you know, for bringing people together. And there's nothing better, Elissa, than sports to change culture. Because quite frankly, when you're on the court, you don't ask somebody if they're black or white or right. Jewish or Christian or Asian or boy or girl. You just play and you play to win. And, you know, this is our seventh and eighth court in the Dallas Metroplex. And we're going to open up 14 by next year. Wow. With the Dallas police, because we want to, you know, give them what they need to create these relationships. So with Nancy Lehman Charities and World Ventures Foundation, my partner, we're just absolutely thrilled to be a part of doing something positive.
And as I understand, too, Nancy, over the past year, you have developed a very special connection, relationship with the retired Dallas Police Chief, David Brown. He is an extraordinary man and has just, you know, given so much to the city of Dallas. And I know he is so appreciative for all that you have done.
Well, we met under trying circumstances. I was at Summer League last year when I walked in my room after a game and there I saw the tragedy. Mm. And I was so overwhelmed. You know, Dallas is my adopted hometown for 37 years. And when I got back, Chief and I met for the first time, and there was an instant connection. And he says, look, you know, we need an initiative. We need your dream courts. And I was stunned that Chief Brown knew about our dream courts. Mm. Long story short, we have become family. And I just admire Chief Brown more than I can even say. He's intelligent. He has integrity. He has empathy. He deeply cares about his community. And we made a promise to him we would start with two courts. And at the end of the day, the commitment grew to 14. And, you know, on this day, you can imagine how many vigils and, you know, things are going on around Dallas. And Chief, you know, is with us. And we're one of the places that he chose to be on this very solemn day. I love him, and I have tremendous admiration for David Brown.
You know, you talked about and highlighted the goal of Dream Courts, you know, helping underprivileged communities to have a safe area to play basketball, to interact socially. Do you see yourself going outside the city of Dallas to other areas, other cities where these would be needed?
Well, as only you could have that vision, Chief said to me, you know, not only do we want to do this in Dallas last year, and he has laid the roadmap out for us. So we are opening up a dream court for the cops and the kids in Chicago, Lubbock, Texas, Brockton, Massachusetts, Louisville, Kentucky, in Atlanta. Those will all open in 2017. By the end of this year, we will have 50 dream courts. I can't believe saying that to you. But we'll have 50 open around the country. And then in 2017, we'll probably do between 10 and 15 more. And we just, every day, I can't believe that, you know, this vision has, you know, just taking on a whole new side of trying to help culture and healing and bringing people together. But I guess that's what we should be doing as a charity. We should always be helping people.
Absolutely. She is a basketball Hall of Famer, the assistant coach with the Sacramento Kings. We're going to talk about some of the savvy moves that they have made in free agency. Nancy Lieberman back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We really tip our hat to Nancy Lieberman, her charity that continues to give back to the city of Dallas, connecting with the community. You got to talk to me about the kids. What is the response? What has that been like? And just the look in their eyes.
One of the things that hit my heart, I was doing an interview yesterday. We were opening up one of these courts in Dallas. It was December 8th, and it was freezing out. And this little, this baby girl just comes up to me, and I said, do you like your new court? Mm. And she goes, it's not my court. I go, no, honey, this is your court, and it's yours. She goes, this is my court? I go, yeah. And she goes, when are they going to take it away from me? I mean, I got choked up.
Wow.
I go, no. We're not taking anything away from you. We're giving it to you. We want you to have it so you can play with your friends and be healthy and have a great time. And she was hugging my leg. This little girl was African-American girl, maybe about 7 years old. Mm. She actually didn't care that I was a 58-year-old white woman. She just cared that I cared. And I was so overwhelmed by her kindness and her. She inspired me because this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to show people we know we're different. I can tell you this right now. I know I've been white for 59 years mm-hmm. and a woman. That's okay. We don't care about that. We just care what our heart says. And our heart says, just help one more. Just help one more. And let's change the lives of just one more kid. Because, you know, I mean, you know, E, me growing up in New York and playing basketball in Rucker Park, I knew I looked different at 11, 12, 13, 14 years old.
Sure.
Nobody picked on me because I was a redheaded little white Jewish girl. The black community embraced me. They protected me. They rode the trains home with me to make sure that I was safe. And this, we're just, you know, lift when you rise. Give to other people. Help other people, regardless of circumstance. And that's what we're trying to do here. And we have such a short time on this earth. I will never be remembered, I hope, as a great basketball player or coach. I just want to be remembered as someone who gave more than they took. That's it. When my time's up, that's how I want to be remembered.
That is tremendous. Hey, Nancy Lieberman, back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We do have to pause. You've got an amazing team that you've put together, and your partners for funding these dream courts. Share a little bit about them.
Well, Word Ventures, I've been their spokesperson for 11 years now. And every step of the way, they have been there to say, what's your dream? What's your passion? We want to make a living, but we also want to give back and we want to empower people. And it was the perfect storm for us. So through World Ventures support and then subsequently through the World Ventures Foundation, we've partnered, like I said, right now we have 37 dream courts open. We'll have 50 by the end of the year. And you don't do it without great partners. You can't do anything in life if you don't have people, you know, rowing in the same direction with you. And you have to have great teammates. And I have a great teammate in World Ventures.
Well, Nancy, while we have you on the show tonight, we also want you to give a plug for your basketball camps. You have such an ambitious schedule that will be getting underway later this month and then also in the month of August. And I can just personally share, my oldest son about 10 years ago was a part of your camp, had a blast, had a great time, and learned the fundamentals on how to play the game of basketball, although he is a golfer.
Okay, it's scary, the fact that it was 10 years ago.
I know.
but this is our 37th year basketball camp, and the cool thing, I think the secret sauce for us is the fact that I'm at camp all day, every day, and I teach every session of camp. So whatever we do in the NBA, we bring that to the kids, the terminology. You could be a newbie. You could be, you know, 4 or 5 years old and really scared, and it's your first camp. First of all, camp has to be fun. You're going to make friends. You're going to learn. You're going to have a smile on your face. We're going to teach basketball, and we're going to teach it at whatever level you are, so you don't have to be afraid that you're not the best. Well, quite frankly, if you are the best, we're going to make you better, and we're going to get you ready for that next level of your career or whatever team. So we stress that we're a character camp, how we talk to people, how we teach. We also are a skill and drill camp. We'll never put you in a game before we've worked on one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three, and taught basketball concepts and how to play the game today and to understand it. You know, we don't want to tell you what to do because we don't want you to be a robot. We want you to buy into the concept, because if you believe what we're asking you to do, then you'll be able to do it with confidence. So those are the real fun things that we do at camp. And obviously, I can only do 2 sessions right now because my schedule has been so demanding. But I'm thrilled to be able to do the July camp. So if you want to come and sign your kids up, just go to Nancy Lieberman Charities org. We sell out every session of every camp because we limit the enrollment, because we actually want to teach the game. We want to have fun. We want to tell stories. And we just want your kid to get better. And I'll give you your money back if your kid's not better after they leave camp.
The NBA conversation continues with Basketball Hall of Famer and the assistant coach of the Sacramento Kings after this quick commercial break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. We're going to continue our conversation with Basketball Hall of Famer and the assistant coach of the Sacramento Kings, and that is Nancy Lieberman. You know, although it has been 10 years for Steven to be a part of your camp, the one takeaway that really touched me was at the end of the camp, how you kind of shared your journey, your testimony, and what all you have navigated through. Do you still do that? And would you mind sharing just a little bit about that tonight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for saying that. Yes, we show the video and I tell them, you know, people look at me, and where I am today in my career. And I tell them, look, I was a poor kid from a one parent family growing up in New York. We had no heat, no electricity, no food. And we were one parent away from food stamps. So I understand what no hope looks like. But I also understand that basketball changed my life and gave me an opportunity to feel good about myself. And sports is that great equalizer in life. And, you know, I decided when I was young that I was going to try to be the greatest, you know, basketball player ever. And it kept me focused. It kept me out of trouble. It just gave me a different path. And then, you know, through the grace of God, you know, I mean, who gets to say that they met and Muhammad Ali, their hero, befriended me from the time I was 19 years old to the day that we buried him a year ago, June, in Louisville. And he just kept telling me, you know, you respect everybody, fear nobody, you can do this. When I was young, they said I was too young to be on the Olympic team in 76 because I was a senior in high school when I ended up making the team. When I came back in 97 at the age of 39 to play in the WNBA, they said I was too old. I mean, there was always something. People put labels on you. You're too black. You're too white. You're too old. You're too slow. You're too this. You're too that. No, don't allow people to tell you who you are. You tell them who you are. And we teach this to the kids. We want them to be fortified with confidence and belief and in doing the right thing. Always, not just on the days you feel like doing something nice. Be, you know, just be responsible and have a purpose.
Who made that introduction with Muhammad Ali? Do you remember that first meeting?
Well, the first time I ever met him was by accident. Old Dominion had just won their first national championship, you know, in 79-80, we won back-to-back titles. Mm-hmm. And the Olympic Committee had said to me my senior year, we're having a fundraiser at the New York Stock Exchange in December, and we would really like you to be one of the athletes. So I go to I fly to New York. My mom is there, my best friend Barbara. And I'm walking around, and they're taking me to the green room. And I ask the gentleman, I go, so who are the other athletes? And the guy looks at me and goes, it's you and Muhammad Ali. Wow. And I went, Muhammad Ali is here? And he goes, yeah, we're going up to the room with him now. I'm like, Muhammad Ali is, like, here? Mm. I couldn't breathe. Mm. I go in the room. And I go to this other athlete who was on my 76 Olympic team, Howard Davis. He was a boxer who won the gold medal with Sugar Ray Leonard. And I'm looking at Howard because I knew he was from Queens. And we started talking, and my mother goes over to Muhammad, and she puts her arm around his neck, and she goes, Mr. Muhammad, how are you? My name is Renee Lieberman from Far Rockaway. He's from New York. Yeah. And he says, you know, hey, Mrs. Lieberman, how you doing? And they start talking. And the next thing I know, my mother says, my daughter, Nancy, she's the greatest of all times. And he goes, listen here, lady, there's only one greatest of all times, and it's me. And she says, Mr. Muhammad, I know you're good and everything, but my daughter, And so he kind of ushers me over. My head is down. I'm shaking. And he looks at me and he goes, your mom says you're really good. And I'm like, Mr. Muhammad, no, I'm not real. I'm the greatest of all times.
Go Lady Magic.
And he hugs me and he goes, there's two of us? I said, yeah, there's two of us. And you help me because, like, I can fight like you. And he was like, okay, slow down. And I was 19 and that was the beginning. And I have to tell you, all these years with Muhammad in my life, and then when I got the coaching job 2 years ago with the Kings, he and Lonnie Ali had been saying that I was going to make it, I was going to make it, I was going to coach in the NBA. And they're like the second phone call I made. And Muhammad says, you know, when I coach with the team in Phoenix where they live, he's coming to the game. Son of a gun. He showed up. He was in the suite behind our bench.
Wow.
And my players were like, what's the champ doing here? And somebody goes, oh, that's coach's friend. Talking about street cred? It was awesome. And I love this man. I mean, he just fueled my confidence. He was so supportive. And he was just always there for me. And I still can't believe I can say this.
That is,
I miss him.
I know you do, and that is just beautiful. Hey, Nancy Lieberman, Basketball Hall of Famer, assistant coach with the Sacramento Kings, joining us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. If you're just joining us, we would love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports. You can always email the show at info@eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. Okay, so it has, Nancy. Let's transition here. It's been a very big week in free agency, especially for your Kings. As I just mentioned, you're the assistant coach, and you guys made some very big moves with George Hill and Zach Randolph. These are two veteran players, and that will certainly help rebuild and compete in the Western Conference. What do these acquisitions ultimately mean for Sacramento?
Well, I'm really proud of Sacramento. Dave Yeager is one of the brightest coaches I've ever seen. I knew that before he was hired there, and I certainly know it after. First of all, he has a relationship with Zach from Memphis, especially,
that's right,
you know, during his glory years when Dave was an assistant coach there with Lionel Hollins and then the head coach. So they know each other very, very well. George Hill is a brilliant, you know, playmaker. He learned a lot when he was down in San Antonio and you know, from the Pacers. So, you know, the Kings have gotten younger, but there's a lot of talent. Willie Cauley-Stein has gotten better every year. Scal Labissiere, he's unbelievable. I mean, last summer at Summer League, clearly he was the best offensive player that we had had on the court. People haven't really seen Malachi Richardson because he had a pulled hamstring, I believe, last year. But there's a lot of talent, and it's, you know, Vlade Divac and Dave. They're putting together a team of the future. With the new arena down there in Sacramento, there's going to be bright days ahead for the Kings. There really will be. They've done a great job, you know, how they handled the fifth and tenth pick. It was, they have to be proud. I'll say that, you know, being a GM in this league is not an easy task. And, I think this is, Vlade's going on to his, third year or second year. No, I'm lying. Third year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done a great job. He has a great feel for basketball and feel for players, and they all like him. I mean, he's been there. He knows what it's about, and he was a tremendous player. So I believe there's going to be bright days ahead, but the West got a little bit tougher, you know, with look at the people that Golden State's signing. And they just took Omri Caspi. I want everybody to take note because you know how you kind of morph into working with certain players? Omri Caspi was one of my guys. It was my job to work with Rondo or Bellinelli or Caspi every day. He is an amazing professional shooter. He's a real good rebounder. He's bigger than you think. He's smart. And Omri Caspi is a pro's pro. And he's going to stretch the floor. And if he gets in rhythm, it's just another piece that they have to open up gaps in space because of the shooters that they put on the floor.
Hey, Nancy Lieberman, with just a few more minutes tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I got a couple more questions talking about the Kings. You know, this addition of Zach Randolph, here he is, a two-time All-Star, a 16-year NBA veteran, and really, Nancy, one of the most beloved players in Memphis history. You had talked about the transition. He's going to be reunited with his former head coach in Dave Yeager. What kind of role will Zach have with working with some of the younger bigs? And, you know, he knows how to use his body, angle, and, you know, really use it as a weapon.
Well, you know, if Zach does what he did with Memphis, I mean, I this is crazy, but I remember when I was coaching in the WNBA in 1998-99, I did the boys' high school basketball championships, and Zach Randolph was playing.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
How about that? I was doing the TV, and he was the big kid coming out, you know, at that point. And he was really good then. He's a willing teacher. He will understand his role. That's the greatest thing you can be. You know, you come in the league, you know, you're learning. Then, of course, I always say you're earning and then you're returning. And now's the chance for him at this stage of his career to not only make money. I think he signed 2 years, $24 million,
yep,
but
to
return and give information to the next generation. I have no doubt that he'll do that.
What was it like to have the opportunity to work with Buddy Hield? He spent 25 games last season with Sacramento after being acquired from New Orleans in that DeMarcus Cousins trade. I mean, he had to make a quick transition, and what he averaged like 15 points. So your impressions of the Sooner sensation, we loved him.
Well, you know, we had Isaiah Cousins. We had him in the second round 2 years ago, and I worked quite a bit with Isaiah, and he talked so much about Buddy's work ethic and how they work together. And, you know, Buddy's just a pro's pro. He come, you know, every day, even down in New Orleans, he just came in. And, you know, I heard this from their players down there. I mean, he just comes in and he does his work. He does his job. He's going to be around the league for a long time. I mean, he can be a young Rudy Gay, you know, because he's quick.
Wow.
You know, he can attack off the dribble. He's got a beautiful shot. And he just has a professional mentality when it comes to doing his work. And I think that's all you can ask of a player in the league right now is I always ask people, what's your professional routine? And what is your routine? Because that's something you do over and over and over, which makes you great.
One of the big storylines this past week, of course, is Gordon Hayward leaving the Western Conference, headed to a team and organization that has won 17 NBA championships, talking about the Celtics. What kind of transition do you see, envision him making and being reunited with his former head coach?
Well, he's had a few good coaches in his career.
He
sure
has.
He starts with Brad at Butler, then he goes to Quinn at the Jazz. Quinn Snyder is one of the most brilliant coaches. Him, Brad Stevens, Dave Yeager, I mean, those guys are like Rain Man. I mean, they're serious
right.
savants of this game. So then he goes to Quinn, you know, for the first whatever 6 years of his career. You could see he changed his body dramatically, like J.J. Redick did. And now he gets a chance to go to the East, which is, you know, everybody's talking about, well, you know, he's going there because of the relationship. And I'm saying, you know, one thing about him is he's probably going there because it's an easier path to the playoffs to be able, you know, to have. Because right now it's just so hard trying to get to the playoffs and getting through the first or second round with how stacked the West is, and especially now with
the NBA conversation continues with Basketball Hall of Famer and the assistant coach of the Sacramento Kings after this quick commercial break with Nancy Lieberman.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. We're going to continue our conversation with Basketball Hall of Famer and the assistant coach of the Sacramento Kings, and that is Nancy Lieberman.
You know, they're a pretty talented team with the MVP. So for Gordon, he's going to fit in well. Do they need more pieces? Yeah, probably, because they're probably going to lose like a Marcus Smart or somebody like that. But Danny Ainge has done a great job manipulating his draft picks, which are plentiful, and utilizing it to their benefit. You know, they got guys like Jonas Jerebko, who most people don't even know who this guy is. He's really good. I mean, he's really good. And you get Al Horford, then, you know, now you get somebody who can set you up. Isaiah Thomas can break anybody down. He commands 10 eyes on him. And all Gordon Hayward has to do is be on the other side of the floor, which is what we do in the NBA now anyway. Most of the points come off second side baskets. The front side is more diversion, and the second side is where you score.
Well, Nancy, as we get ready to wrap up our interview, you're entering your third season as the assistant coach with the Sacramento Kings. Just overall, I mean, I remember the day you were named as the assistant. What has the experience been like for you, and is it everything that you expected?
When you coach, you want to have the opportunity to coach the best at the highest level. To be honest, my dream was never to be a coach. That hit me later in life. You know, the greatest thing was to be able to play this game that I love, and then I started doing TV. And then the last piece of it is being a coach, you get to be in the foxhole with the players, and you get to help people. To be able to have had that opportunity in the WNBA and that opportunity in the NBA, I feel really blessed. It's been an amazing ride. I don't take anything for granted. There's so much talent, coaches, not only in women's basketball, but in the NBA. The assistant coaches are so bright and work so hard mm-hmm. and make so many sacrifices for the sake of the players, the head coach, and the team. It's enormous. They're all in, and, you know, I got to see them at, you know, up front and personal. So I've been very lucky.
The great Nancy Lieberman, Basketball Hall of Famer, assistant coach with the Sacramento Kings, has been with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You have a great time at Summer League, and we look forward to another conversation. Thank you so much, Nancy, and continued success.
Thank you.
That, of course, was Basketball Hall of Famer and the assistant coach of the Sacramento Kings, Nancy Lieberman. We